and then you can come back in," he shouted after her as she ran up the steps after Tonks. "You've got to come back in." "Hang on a moment," said Ron sharply. "We've forgotten someone."
"Who?"
asked Hermione. "The house elves. They'll all be down in the kitchen, won't they?"
"You mean we ought to get them fighting?" asked Harry.
"No," said Ron seriously. "I mean, we should tell them to get out. We don't want any more Dobbies, do we? We can't order them to die for us."
There was a clatter as the basilisk fangs cascaded out of Hermione's arms. Running at Ron, she flung them around his neck and kissed him full on the mouth. Ron threw away the fangs and broomstick he was holding and responded with such enthusiasm that he lifted Hermione off her feet.
"Is this the moment?"
Harry asked weakly, and when nothing happened except that Ron and Hermione gripped each other still more firmly and swayed on the spot, he raised his voice.
"Oi! There's a war going on here!"
Ron and Hermione broke apart, their arms still around each other.
"I know, mate," said Ron,
who looked as though he had recently been hit on the back of the head with a bludger.
"So, it's now or never, isn't it?"
"Never mind that, what about the Horcrux?"
Harry shouted.
"Do you think you could just hold it in until we've got the diadem?"
"Yeah, right, sorry,"
said Ron, and he and Hermione set about gathering up fangs, both pink in the face. It was clear, as the three of them stepped back into the corridor upstairs, that in the minutes that they had spent in the Room of Requirement, the situation within the castle had deteriorated severely. The walls and ceiling were shaking worse than ever. Dust filled the air, and through the nearest window, Harry saw bursts of green and red light so close to the foot of the castle that he knew the Death Eaters must be very near to entering the place. Looking down, Harry saw Grawp the giant meandering past, swinging what looked like a stone gargoyle torn from the roof and roaring his displeasure.
"Let's hope he steps on some of them," said Ron, as more screams echoed from close by. "As long as it's not any of our lot," said a voice.
Harry turned and saw Ginny and Tonks, both with their wands drawn at the next window, which was missing several panes. Even as he watched, Ginny sent a well-aimed jinx into a crowd of fighters below.
"Good girl!"
roared a figure running through the dust toward them, and Harry saw Aberforth again, his grey hair flying as he led a small group of students past.
"They look like they might be breaching the north battlements. They brought giants of their own.
Have you seen Remus?"
Tonks called after him.
"He was dueling Dolohov,"
shouted Aberforth.
"Haven't seen him since."
"Tonks," said Ginny. "Tonks, I'm sure he's okay."
But Tonks had run off into the dust after Aberforth. Ginny turned, helpless, to Harry, Ron and Hermione.
"They'll be all right,"
said Harry, though he knew they were empty words.
"Ginny, we'll be back in a moment. Just keep out of the way. Keep safe. Come on,"
he said to Ron and Hermione, and they ran back to the stretch of wall beyond which the Room of Requirement was waiting to do the bidding of the next entrant.
"I need the place where everything is hidden,"
Harry begged of it inside his head, and the door materialized on their third run past. The furor of the battle died the moment they crossed the threshold and closed the door behind them. All was silent. They were in a place the size of a cathedral with the appearance of a city, its towering walls built of objects hidden by thousands of long-gone students.
"And he never realized anyone could get in," said Ron, his voice echoing in the silence.
"He thought he was the only one," said Harry.
"Too bad for him. I've had to hide stuff in my time."
"This way," he added. "I think it's down here."